Hello, everybody. This is William Del Pilar, and this is Points on the Board, where politics and sports intersect, and I'm here to bring you all the news. That said, we don't always talk sports and politics every week, but this week we will. Our top two topics tonight is going to be on Jason LaCanfora, spectacular fall from NFL reporting grace. And then we're going to talk about from gender policy to cultural shifts, the impact of Trump's executive order and the conservative surge in sports. And we're going to highlight the case of Peyton McNabb as well. No relation to Donovan. So let's get right into it. But hold on. Before that, do not forget to like this podcast and share it after we're done here. And do not forget, you can check out this podcast, Points on the Board, as well as my conservative talk podcast, Fired Up, and my cultural podcast, The Red, White, and Rude. You can find those at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as YouTube, Rumble, Spotify, Pandora, Apple, under the profile handle Grumblings Media. All right, everybody, let's get to it. Fake news insider Jason LaCanfora. Okay, so my issue with beat reporters in general is 99% of them are leftists. And that is no different than in the sports world as well as the political world. Why do I say that? Well, I worked with over 200 of these guys, and they were all polite. They were all nice. They were all amicable. But what's happened is after the 2000 election, everybody came out of the closet. And if you weren't progressive, you were a white supremacist. You were a fascist. You were everything bad in society. And in essence, what they were doing is projecting their own beliefs and their own feelings. Because if you look under what's happened since the turn of the century, the Democrats have gone full mode fascist, and that has bled into sports. I mean, look at the Colin Kaepernick crap. That was all BS. Take a knee. You know, black Americans have done better than any black culture in the world. I have black relatives myself. My grandmother, as I've said a million times, was called the N-word, and I had to deal with that. And I really didn't deal with it. It didn't bother me. Not because of my skin tone, but because we're family. We didn't care about that. She was our abuelita, you know, and we didn't see it that way. Then I got a little older, and then I realized how prevalent it is. The racism industry is a $2 billion industry, and it is fueled by the media, including people like Jason LaCanfora. And a hat tip to Bobby Burak at OutKick, as this story came out earlier in about mid-December, I want to say, and I had it filed away, and I thought, this is a good time to bring it out because I do follow Jason LaCanfora. He's freaking out. For those of you that don't realize it, I am shooting this on Trump's inauguration day, and his X handle is just going ballistic. It's like over and over and over with his post, with his TDS. For those of you who do not know what TDS is, Trump Derangement Syndrome. We have that problem here at Grumblings Media too, as well. So, you know, I lay out my notes, you know, with headers, you know, introduction, the transformation of Jason LaCanfora. The truth of the matter is LaCanfora was always a leftist swine. You know, he was once a prominent NFL insider, and he's technically still doing that type of work, but he's kind of like me. He's transitioned to a politically charged commentator. The difference between he and I is I back up my data with facts. And I wish I could remember. I got in a big time argument about the Virginia incident when Trump first took office with this sports reporter who writes for Yahoo. I'm not going to say the name I think it is because I don't know if it's this individual. I'll look it up one day. He'll be next on my hit list. But he was arguing about Trump being a racist and white supremacist at the Charlottesville incident. And I even showed him where Snopes and the actual video. And this guy teaches journalism. And he's still in denial, still talking. He's just flat out lying. And that's what people like this, that individual, and LaCanfora do, along with there's other ones. Jim Trotter's another one. Jim Trotter does not see a story that isn't race first. And he always aligns with the black individual. Those are the worst kinds. For us to come together as a nation, we've got to cross those barriers. And crossing barriers means we all have to look in the mirror. I, as a Latino, I do look in the mirror. I'll be the first to tell you, there's a lot of racist Latinos. And I'll be the first to tell you, there's a lot of racist Blacks. To be honest about it, there's a lot of racist Asians. The one race where there is the least amount of racism in America, yes, it's white America. We've pretty much stamped out white racism to the fact it's manufactured. Between 2012 till now, there have been till a couple years ago, that's where I got the data from. So it's about from 2012, I want to say, to about 2022, right around there, over 400 race hoaxes saying whites did this to minorities turned out to be hoaxes. If racism is so bad, why are you having to make up lies ranging from college kids with the paintings to Bubba Wallace with the noose, which turned out to just be a little thing you grab and pull down? And Bubba Wallace is one of the worst of the lot because he plays up on it. It's a multi-billion dollar industry. So let's talk about Jason LaCanfora. Once a prominent NFL insider, he's transitioned again into a politically charged commentator. His career arc highlights his shift from sports like mine, reporting, to now he's a political pundit in his mind. He's an idiot, to be truthful. And why? Because he has one focus, and that's Donald Trump. I just had that conversation with somebody at Grown News Media. I said, look, dude, it's like when I criticize this party, I criticize the party's beliefs, its systems, what it stands for, how it's just not viable. You just have TDS, you know, and that's what LaCanfora has, you know. So let's talk about his public persona, professional life, and then the broader media landscape. So he's a former CBS NFL insider known for inaccurate reporting. He was replaced in 2022 by some guy named Jonathan Jones nobody really knew, because of consistent reporting errors. And after that, he shifted his focus to predominantly left-wing political commentary. Or at least that's what it seems like if you follow his X account. You know, so hold on one second here. So I wanted to bring up his account. So this is his account. You know, he's reposted Ezra Klein political against Trump. Another one, Charlotte Clymer against Trump. It's a Nazi salute. If you have to defend whether or not what you did is a Nazi salute, it's a Nazi salute. No, she's lying. What she's referring to there is Elon Musk going from my heart like that. And that's what he was doing. Of course, the media and people like Jason LaCanfora flat out lie to you. Oh, it's a Nazi salute. So this is, let's see. I'm old enough to remember when Larry Kudlow practically had an aneurysm. You know, it's nothing but Aaron Rupar, hardcore leftist liar. Tristan Snell, they're bitching about the billionaires helping. Now, here's the irony. These four billionaires were all helping the Democrats a few years ago. The Democrats, George Soros. Check out my conservative podcast, Fired Up, from last week, episode 60, where I mentioned all the billionaires. See, so they try to play these games. This is his timeline, a sports guy, you know, Aaron Rupar. You know, so it's just one TDS post after another. So, again, he's gone from being an NFL insider to being shamed by losing this job because he was terrible at it. And so let's talk about some of his reporting that got him allegedly let go. And the reason I say allegedly, I don't know. I haven't talked to anybody over there. But here's some of his insider information. Fabricated a text from an NFL executive. LaCanfora claimed that received a text from an NFL executive, and it was later revealed to be untrue. And obviously that cast doubt on his sources. Jeff Fisher and the Houston Roughnecks. He wrongly reported Jeff Fisher was in line to coach the XFL's Houston Roughnecks. Fisher declined it, and he did not get that job or was not up for it. A Colin Kaepernick interview. LaCanfora and CBS reported that he had spoken to Colin Kaepernick about his anthem protest. Kaepernick denied any such conversation, and he revealed it was misrepresentation, that he merely had a brief encounter in a hotel lobby, not an interview. Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell. He predicted both would join the Washington Redskins staff by Tuesday. this was years ago, obviously, but Fangio signed with the Bears the next day. Adam Gase's Bears move. He was shocked at the prospect of Gase joining Fox in Chicago, yet Gase signed with the Bears shortly thereafter. Then there's the Jaguars relocation, saying they would move to London by 2021, and that never happened. So it's not just a blunder here or there. Hey, I'm in sports. I covered arguably the most popular player news source in its time, hot off the wire, after I sold the company. It's buried somewhere on USA Today after they dissolved our brand to focus on the USA brand. So in essence, they wanted our millions of site viewers that were coming out of daily, including agents, players, and general managers, and they consolidated that into their page, and it's dead. Nobody goes to USA Today for fantasy news. I could go back and try to help salvage it and do a very good job, but they have no clue on what they're doing over there. I never went over to USA Today after the big sale. I chose to go my separate way. But anyway, so these blunders, they've been cataloged. There's web pages dedicated to his blunders. I'm sure they don't exist anymore since he got let go a couple years ago. But he has no credibility. He's seen as a tedious nut job, and he's just going full force. This is what happens when you live in a bubble. Obviously, he's known for his tedious. He labeled Pete Hegseth as the epitome of white privilege. Now, I don't know anybody with white privilege that has gone into combat. Those people, billionaire sons and things like that, they tend to get the medical waivers. Or people like LeConfora who have never served or don't know lick about somebody like Pete Hegseth who's willing to put his life on the line and lead troops. And those troops that he led, white, black, Asian, black, white, Asian, you name it, he led them. How's that for white privilege, Jason? It's not. It's a lie. So he's willing to lie because he hates somebody so much. You know, he called Trump's cabinet picks a confederacy of dunces running the government. One more corrupt and inept than the next. Really? Lloyd Austin? He just happens to be black. But he's an idiot, not because he's black, because he was working for Raytheon and the billionaires and making them money. Pete Hegseth or Buttigieg? Sadly, most people call him Pete Booty Plug, but I'm not going to be rude like that. Pete Booty Egg, he had no experience. One screw up after another. Let's look at his senators he loves. Pocahontas. Why do we call Elizabeth Warren Pocahontas? Because she lied. Daddy said, Granddaddy said, I got high cheekbones. I got high cheekbones. That means I'm a Native American. And she took a job. She was listed as a Native American. And she has no Native American. It's so infinitesimally small, it doesn't register. Yeah, she was willing to take a billet. These are the people Jason supports. And yet he hates me and my kind, a Latino. Man. He's obviously intense and emotionally inept. He has rage, TDS rage. Pete Hegseth is a decorated combat veteran. Hear that, Jason? Combat veterans. He had service in Guantanamo Bay. Hey, I've been there too. Iraq and Afghanistan. Earned 2 Bronze Stars. So how's that white privilege? What did he get? Did his white privilege get him the best rifle that they have to keep up, upkeep themselves? So his political stances have redefined him from a sports authority more to a political hack, a wannabe hack. And he's increased himself with what I call the white supremacists in the Democrat Party. Why? They have a superiority complex. I dealt with this growing up with my mother. White suburban women were the worst of them all. They talked down to her. They talked to her like, we know what's best for you, Clemencia. My mother's name's Clemencia. We know what's best for you. And that's how that's a problem in the circles that Jason comes from, that he represents. He has a superiority about him that he believes he's better. Me, Jason, I'm your equal. I don't view myself as better. I view myself as politically smarter because I know how it works. I actually built a business. What have you built? Oh, an insider gig that you got fired from. Allegedly. Yeah, so obviously he's gained leftist hacks, his friends, you know, kids that live in the basements. But it raises questions about the ethical considerations with so-called journalists like him that are willing to just flat out lie. Anyway, LaConfora's journey is a microcosm of the media landscape. He's just come out of the closet. There's a lot of, there's James Boyd of the Athletic. That's terrible. You know, Adam Silver. There's others like that. You know, Cosell. Others like that. They're just leftist hacks. You know, so his case actually illustrates the challenges in the media from putting your personal beliefs and then lying about it, about your, the people you don't care for, with professional integrity. They can't coexist. And so, in other words, he's just a hack now. He has no professional integrity. But then again, all those blunders kind of destroy that. So this digital age we're in is very volatile. And social media can rapidly alter and, in his case, destroy what little reputation he had. So Jason's going to keep making a living. They all have moved to sports betting. There's so many sports betting jobs that there's room for them there. And they jump from job to job. You know, my last bet, I want to say the 2000 Ravens. I predicted them to go to the Super Bowl at the beginning of the season. And I won a whole gym set. I mean, that's what I use the money on. But I don't gamble because I have an addictive personality. But I was pretty good at all that stuff. I was one of the premier fantasy football players in the nation. You know, I know numbers. I know, but even more important, I knew numbers and I knew human nature combined with the heart, what it takes to get up, to be one of the few, one of the greats. And that made me good. Jason, I can't even sniff my jaw. All right, let's move on. From gender policy to culture shifts, the impact of Trump's executive orders and the conservative surge in sports. So, the cultural landscape of sports and entertainment has seen a significant transformation, and it's been marked by a conservative resurgence the past year and a half. And that predates the viral Trump dance craze. We all remember the Trump dance. YMCA. So, you could really see this shit. Well, you couldn't really see it. The general public didn't see it. But those of us who are insiders in the political world and cover sports still, we did see it. And it was highlighted by when Vice President Kamala Harris, or Horizontal Harris, as I like to call her, my endearing nickname. I heard she's very good when she gets on those knees and works hard. You know? But anyway, so she was challenged. Or found it very challenging to engage in sports, gaming, and the culture podcast, you know. So then you had the contrast between Trump and Biden at sporting events, and we were seeing that shift happen in real time. You know, so you look at it from this perspective. Kamala couldn't get on these podcasts. She couldn't pay people to get on the podcast. And when she did, it came and went. You know, where Trump would see 18, 20, 30 million views that people saw, she'd get 700,000. Her best ones were like 700,000, you know, but you see the difference there. So you parallel that cultural evolution to President Trump's executive order that he just gave January 20th, 2025, defining sex as strictly male or female. Because just a year and a half ago, that it would be all over the news. How dare he? How dare he? Now, they're grudgingly accepting it. The courts are ruling on the side. I mean, we're going to talk about Peyton McNabb, and I'm going to show you how a man can destroy a woman physically when they pretend to be women. So let's talk about Trump's, before we get back to the sports session, let's talk about Trump's executive order on gender. And this is important because you have transgender men. You have men, Leah Thomas. I mean, the man still has a schlong, woo, 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 in that locker room, swinging it, you know? And people think just because you say you're a woman doesn't mean you are a woman. You know, and there were some reports of women saying that he would have an erection at times. I forget the term. What is that term? Let me look it up here real quick. Got it. Autogynephilia. In essence, what that means, there's men who love the cross-dress, say they're transgender, and they get off on it. It sexually arouses them. And doctors, not recently, but up. Individuals are like this. They're cross-dressers who get off on cross-dressing. So you hear about some of these men having erections. Well, I'm a woman. Woo! So Trump is putting an end to this nonsense. The mandate, federal recognition of only two biological sexes for official documentation and policy. This alters federal prison policies. There have been men who have said they're women. They've gone into female prisons because California would rather see a woman raped and beaten and destroyed psychologically than to tell that guy, no, you're not a woman. You're staying in the male prison. You want to be a woman and have all that fun? Then be a catcher in the male prison. Instead, they want to be pitchers, and they rape women. There have been instances of these men raping women. Not to mention the sports. Volleyball being one of the most detrimental. You know, all these college coaches in basketball, the female, man, I'd love to be the coach of a Division III and set up some games with Division I teams. And the day of, get all men on my team. Well, they all identify as women. Just beat the hell out of them on the court. There's a reason women and men, you don't see females in the NBA. You don't see females in the NFL. You don't see females in Major League Baseball. Why? They can't compete. You don't see females as SEALs. You see them as a Ranger. She was, that's check, check, she passed. No, check, she passed. Did she pass? No, check, she passed. That's how she got through Ranger school. I mean, it's crazy. So, this impacts transgender. No, this does not impact transgender rights, but they're saying it impacts transgender rights because transgender shouldn't have any rights to participate in anything with a woman just because they say they're a woman, despite the fact they have a schlong and a pair of cojones. So what it does, though, it's going to be challenged, but it's already lost most of the challenges in the sense it's at a point where it's dying and Trump has snuffed it out. You know, so in essence, it impacts transgender rights by potentially reversing previous recognitions of gender identity in areas like healthcare and housing where it should. Why should we, the taxpayers, pay for somebody's transition? You don't see them paying for a boob job for a woman, do you? You know, they don't even cover dental. A lot of the heavy dental stuff in the military anymore. See, so why, but yet they're going to sit there and do that. You do not want a transgender in the foxhole. They're nut jobs. Even the SEAL, who was a SEAL, a man as a SEAL, and then retired or got out and became a woman, he's transitioned back to a man. This also prohibits changing gender markers on documents like passports. This does fulfill Trump's campaign promise to address transgender policies, often described as transgender lunacy. Some on social media are celebrating this, as I am, as it's upholding biological truth and enhancing women's safety. This hopefully will lead back to a significant rollback in transgender recognition. Y'all don't believe me? Let's talk about Peyton McNabb. I got to show you all this. Okay, I had to sit there and find the video. Let me find it here, and I will show it to you guys here. Let me hear. Pause it here. Pop it. Let's talk about Peyton McNabb before I show the video. So, Peyton McNabb became an advocate for women's sports after a severe injury from a transgender athlete during a volleyball game in 2022. She was diagnosed with traumatic brain injury, brain bleed, partial paralysis, and ongoing cognitive issues. She's dealt with this. And I guess eventually the man who injured her reached out to her via text with this text, quote, "Wow, I really am living rent-free in your head, aren't I?" Unquote. No apology, a sarcastic comment. Many men wish they would know who this guy is and they'd really show him what pain really is. So let's show you what this man did to her. So let me set it up for you. She's right here. You see, let's see, right. She's right. Let me put the, oh, I can't do that. I'm looking for my finger to point it. I can't. So the she's in the bottom left or the middle left there, and you'll see what I'm talking about. Watch. So, okay, there's the guy. That's the guy. Bam. Oh, she was right there. Let's show that again. Here we go. Bam. Again. That's a man saying, identifying as a woman. Now, the power of a man, muscularity, his strength, that's a devastating hit towards a woman. So she struggled with what I said. Let me repeat that. Traumatic brain injury, brain bleed, partial paralysis, and ongoing cognitive issues such as memory, things of that nature. And his response was, wow, I really am living rent-free in your head, aren't I? So she's become an advocate. She supported legislation to ban male athletes from women's sports in North Carolina. And that passed. She serves as an ambassador for the Independent Women's Forum, pushing for sports segregation by biological sex. She's got a documentary out, just came out, Kill Shot, How Peyton McNabb Turned Tragedy into Triumph. I'm going to check that out. I haven't seen it yet, and I'm going to look it up, and I will check it out. And I urge all of you to do the same so you can understand the reality of men with schlong stating, I feel like a woman because I'm a vajayjay at heart. Her career in sports ended. Her injuries from the volleyball incident ended. Her aspirations to play college softball, and it significantly altered her athletic career path. Academic challenges, cognitive issues resulting from her traumatic brain injury, it impacted her academic performance and memory retention. I would assume she sued. If not, she should. I'm pretty sure she probably has or is in the process of going through a lawsuit. And I'm sure her payout's going to be big. If not, this is just terrible. So she's turned this tragedy into advocacy, prominent voice. Excuse me. You can't help but see this story as a politician who actually cares and believes women are women and men are men. So her hope is to educate on the safety and fairness issues of sports, and she's winning. She's winning. She's actively pursuing her education, balancing her academic commitments on top of dealing with her health challenges. So despite all this, she manages to maintain her studies, adapting her schedule and learning methods to accommodate her health needs. Man. So why am I bringing this up? Well, Trump did the order, you know, and I'm sure people like Jason LaConfora probably supports transgender women. I don't know. I have no idea. So I don't want to pin that on him, but just wouldn't shock me. So why am I bringing her up? Well, as I told you, Trump signed a man is a man and a woman is a woman. But overall, the left does no longer controls the messaging in sports. And that's the real heart of this story. So the landscape of sports and media has undergone significant transformations, and it reflects a broader social change in political and cultural attitudes. And recent times, as in the past year, we've observed distinct reactions to political figures at sporting events, highlighting this divide in public sentiment. So, for example, Trump received cheers at events like UFC 297 in Toronto and various too many football games, college football games that count. Biden received boos at the 2023 MLB All-Star Game and at a NASCAR race in Charlotte. These weren't one-offs. It was continual. So when Kamala chose to run, she was rejected by the sports and cultural media. Podcast refused to have her on. And that was that's when they should have realized a cultural shift. But they were in la-la land. They didn't want to realize the truth. Then you have athletes like pro-leftists who are in the top 1% in this country who have never, ever dealt with discrimination. Let me tell you something. And both black players and agents of both colors told me this. I said, William, once somebody realizes the talent you have, in terms of these athletes with these God-given gifts, you're never told no, and your transgressions are always covered up. So they can lie all they want, but these people are treated like kings and queens. You're never told no. Why do you think 50% of athletes, I did this study in the 90s, and actually it may have changed, but at the time, 50% of athletes were either arrested for domestic abuse or went broke. Because they were never told no. They never knew their limits. You know, so athletes like Stephen Curry, Stephon Curry, Steve Kerr, LeBron James, and owners like Mark Cuban, are now facing challenges and pushback when they advocate for leftist, swinish policies. And what it is, it's public fatigue. They're tired of them consistently criticizing America's domestic issues while simultaneously endorsing or ignoring their partner China's human rights abuses, such as the treatment of the Uyghurs. This has led to a backlash where sports and cultural media are reflecting broader societal sentiments, like we've had enough of your lies and your crap. LeBron's one of the worst. The guy's dumb as a rock. I mean, he walks around with a book and wants you to think he's reading it. Hasn't read a lick of the book, they proved a few times when they started asking them questions about it. And it wasn't like a one-off. It's like he'd had the book there for a couple of weeks. Well, how you doing? So the public is now less receptive. The political figures like Kamala, the Steve Kerr's lies, Greg Popovich's lies, these are rich 1%ers who live in their own ivory towers, in their mansions, in their gated communities. They're not only out of touch, now they're seen as out of touch. You know, in fact, Kamala's only win was on Club Shay Shay, Shannon Sharpe's popular podcast. But even then, it went nowhere. It was like a one-day news cycle. And Shannon Sharpe tried to keep it in the news. God bless him. He had no power, no wherewithal in the political world. Yeah. So why did this happen with the show's viewers? They're not there for politics, one thing. And her message didn't resonate. And she was seen as fake. Sharpe isn't the best interviewer. There's now resistance against the inconsistencies. Well, how are you saying that the man's been a problem for you when you're earning, you know, $100 million? You know, so people don't see it. Again, it's media fatigue. There's expectations versus reality. You know, they want you to perceive them as down and out in terms of how they're being treated, when in reality they're living the 1% lifestyle. You know, so. How did this culminate finally for the public to see it? The Trump dance. It represented how conservative culture became influential when he won. Hey, he won. He won by it with a mandate. So people felt they could finally be themselves. It demonstrated a cultural embrace of conservative expressions in traditionally neutral areas. Now, it's not just the NFL with the Trump dance. It's combat sports, MMA, UFC, college sports, like some of the college football games. You know, you're seeing the tailgating, the singing of the national anthem. Patriotism is making its way back. Obviously, country music has usually always been very patriotic. But now athletic endorsements, athletes in sports with a conservative fan base, now they're endorsing and aligning with conservative causes. NASCAR, the patriotism that we see now across the board again. So these trends reflect how sports can serve as a cultural battleground where conservative values are not only expressed, but they're celebrated, such as they are on Points on the Board, which was created specifically because of wanting to help create a backlash, a pushback towards leftist hate, leftist lies. The Colin Kaepernick knee was one of the biggest grifts in this nation's history. It's marketing 101. It had to earn money by grifting off of others on a plight that was not there. So how do we know this pre-Trump? Tim Tebow in 2011-2012, they didn't want nothing to do with faith in sports. Remember Rush Limbaugh in 2003 when he said something truthful and Michael Irvin, a premier black athlete, backed him up, but the media just flat out lied about him. So right around 2016, Colin Kaepernick came around. All that's gone. The last couple years has wiped it out. People have had enough of the lies. Post-Trump, you're seeing faith nights in 2021. Conservative sports commentary led by Outkick and Grumbling's Media is in the fray, The Blaze. Obviously, the backlash is just growing. The 2021 MLB All-Star Game relocation from Atlanta over voting laws, which, you know, they took it over, I want to say, to Denver, where it was even worse with the voting laws. And the laws here in Atlanta were actually some of the best in the country. But the media lied. The La Conforas of the world lied. DeSantis, Florida Governor DeSantis, banning transgender sports. So there's also a cultural ecosystem in that Democrats have lost their power. And that's the networks, the diminishing ratings. ESPN is dying. It's literally dying. There's a lack of trust Overall in the media, it's only about 36% trust the media. Influencers are coming up. Pat McAfee at ESPN. ESPN hates him, the talent there, because he's one of their top talents, and he's not an official ESPN employee. They license his show. Jason Whitlock over at the Blaze. You know, there's a disconnect culturally with the media, not just the political and news media, but the sports media as well. So the juxtaposition of Trump's executive order on gender with a cultural shift in sports, exemplified by stories like Peyton McNabb's, that reveals a profound transformation that we're seeing right now in how gender, sports, and culture intersect in American society. This change has both legislative implications as well as being shaped by public sentiment, individual experiences, and cultural narrative, which I bring you here on Points on the Board. The conservative surge in sports culture combined with policy decisions like what Trump just did signals a reorientation back to normalcy in the cultural battles. And we are challenging Democrats' lies, and we're forcing them to look in the mirror. And a few of them are, not many, but a few. The stark contrast in how sports crowds reacted to Trump versus Biden alongside Kamala Harris's rejection by cultural and sports media. These were some of the signs of the cultural shift, and it kind of was epitomized with the Trump dance. So this not only reflects but shapes broader social discussions, and obviously the lines blurred with Kaepernick, with politics, sports, and culture. We're all one. So this is a daily battle, which is why I do Points on the Board every week. And all of this came about because of Rob Flaherty, who worked for the Biden administration in the digital sector and then led Kamala Harris's. He was talking about how the left has lost their touch, has lost their ability. He indicates a growing influence of conservative values in sports underscores a significant reorientation in the arenas where cultural battles are contested and potentially won. All right, let's get down to my newest segment here, I'm an idiot. Hot Reads. I was going through a bunch of names. What should I call it? Hot Reads, which is kind of what I call, not a lightning round, but I quickly talk about storylines that are out there. The NIL and the transfer portal in the NCAA, college sports. The NCAA's attempts to tame the chaos. They're streamlining the transfer window. The NCAA is considering major changes to the transfer portal with the coaches committee advocating for a single 30-day transfer window in early January, post-bowl season. And it's aimed to reduce the chaos that we're seeing and everybody flooding the transfer portal even before some of their bowl games are played, meaning they're opting out of bowl games. So look for that to happen. Maybe not this cycle, obviously, but by next year, this will be something will be in place. The Chicago Bears coaching carousel, a new direction, new leadership for the Bears. Ben Johnson, formerly the offensive coordinator, the whiz kid for the Detroit Lions, going to get past the NFL championship game. To me, you got to win a championship to be considered a true whiz kid. But nobody's doubting him. He's been given the job of the head coach for the Chicago Bears. You know, he's not ready. He hasn't become a leader of men yet. To become a leader of men, you also have to triumph and achieve the greatness that only a few attain, and that's winning the Super Bowl. He has not done that. That tells me he's not ready. But he may still be the best candidate for the job. He got the best job out there because the Bears have Caleb Williams already in place. And the nucleus of any team is having a quarterback. Head coaches get fired because they don't have quarterbacks. GMs too. Antonio Pierce should not have gotten fired, but he got fired because he did not have a quarterback. So the Bears played the long game and they got their guy. We will see how that pans out, but it should produce some results. I don't think he can take him to the promised land for a few years. He himself has to grow into the position. Cooper Kupp, despite affirming his intent to play this next season, he doesn't know if it's going to be with the LA Rams. Puka is the top dog there. His comments are, quote, who knows what's going to happen, unquote, due to ongoing trade rumors and his contract situation. He only had 67 catches for 710 yards and 6 touchdowns in 12 games. And he has a $30 million cap hit in 2025. So they'll try to work something out, but they're happy with Puka. Stafford's a year older, though, so they need to keep Cooper, in my eyes, to have two viable weapons for whoever comes in. The Chiefs' three-peat pursuit, the officiating bias. Look, the Kansas City Chiefs are going towards a historic three-peat. But, man, the refs are helping them out, and it's especially Clay Martin's crew. It's been, I mean, there's not a call he doesn't get. Even the announcers this past week were saying, what the hell? So this issue hasn't gone unnoticed. Players like C.J. Stroud and even commentators, like I said, Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, questioned specific calls. While fans have been, it's been all season with the fans. And the fans have the videos to back it up. McGregor versus Paul, the battle for Mumbai's millions. McGregor, MMA champion, 22-6, boxing 0-1. I think he lost Mayweather or Floyd or something like that. I can't remember. It was an exhibition fight. And Logan Paul have been in talks with a boxing match that could be worth $250 million for each boxer. Look, boxing's a joke. It's no longer about the best boxer. It's about the hype. And Logan Paul's involved with the WWE, so it adds another layer of complexity. This is just a social media influencer game at this point, and it's working. Look at Paul with Tyson. Divine interceptions, the NFL's postseason spotlight on faith. There is increased visibility throughout the NFL playoffs of players and coaches publicly expressing their faith. Jaden Daniels, John Harbaugh, Sean McDermott, openly giving credit to God in postgame interviews. That was a given when I was a kid. Then it became a negative when Colin Kaepernick took a knee. So they're giving open credit to God in postgame interviews, not prompted by questions from the media, but as a natural part of their reflections on the victory or loss. There's a culture shift happening, and we're seeing it. It's a broad cultural shift, and the league has often been criticized for being secular or woke, and it's not showcasing the significant presence of players who are bold. They're bold about their religious beliefs. And this postseason is serving as a platform where faith is not just acknowledged but celebrated, and that's good for America. Race baiters stuck in the past. Congratulations to Ohio State for beating Notre Dame. I was rooting for Notre Dame. William, Notre Dame is a black coach. Oh, that's who I was rooting for. I just like Notre Dame better. Had nothing to do with the coaches. But Desmond Howard, he wanted to see Notre Dame win because he had a black coach. That was it. That was his only reason. And it's on MLK Day. You know, we're like, yawn. We're past that. We're past caring about those type of things. The race baiters are the ones who consistently bring it up. And you're seeing that in social media. It's a pushback. Not that we're against a black man winning a national championship. It's we're there for a great game, for two great coaches, for a team fielding great players. We don't want race in our sports. We just want to enjoy the damn game. Charles Barkley bites back. Call San Francisco rat infested. Charles Barkley expressed reluctance to visit San Francisco, describing the city as rat infested, quote, rat infested, unquote, during a discussion on TNT's Inside the NBA, talking about the city's condition and its cleanliness. It's right. The last time I was in San Francisco some years back, it went to me from the beautiful city to a miscreant, or no, that's a terrible word. It's as he said, a rat-infested shithole. And to me, San Francisco was the most beautiful city in California. And San Diego coming second because San Diego's smaller. San Francisco was just beautiful everywhere. Now it's a shithole. And I hate to say that. But leftist policies have created that. Stores are closing left and right. And they're still playing politics, saying it's because of white corporate companies. No, it's because of the crime is rampant. People getting mugged, shot, murdered, killed. Corporations don't want to deal with profit losses, neither. When you could be, they were openly stealing thousands and thousands of dollars every day. They just couldn't deal with it anymore. Tennis legend Pam Shriver's silver lining stolen. Grand Slam trophies vanished in the LA wildfire chaos. Look, most people don't know who Pam Shriver is. She was not a great player in the sense of one of the greats, but she was a top-tier player, and she had her share of wins. She wasn't that 1% of tennis stars. She had to deal with Chris Everett, Martina Navratilova era. But she won her share, fair share. She achieved greatness in her own way. But her car containing most of her Grand Slam trophies were stolen from a hotel parking lot in Marina del Rey. she was evacuating from the Los Angeles fires. I'm not shocked. And let's close it out with today being Inauguration Day. Vance's Hall of Fame jab. Pete Rose in exchange for fake shit. Vance's political poke. Biden lied. Oh, we just ratified the 28th Amendment. J.D. Vance, now Vice President Vance, said on X that if Biden is going to engage in fake shit on his way out, he might as well declare Pete Rose into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So he was mocking Biden's perceived overreach, but he also tapped into the longstanding debate about Pete Rose's exclusion from the Hall of Fame due to his gambling scandal. For the record, Pete Rose belongs in the Hall of Fame. And there you have it, my friends. A quick take on what I view as the top 10 in political / sports commentary this week. Do not forget, please, like and share this podcast and subscribe to Grumblings Media. And once again, you can find this podcast, Points on the Board, along with my conservative talk podcast, Fired Up, and my cultural commentary podcast, The Red, White, and Rude, at grumblingsmedia.com, as well as YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, y Pandora, under the handle Grumblings Media. Thank you for tuning in, my friends. Until next week, I am William Del Pilar. This is Points on the Board, and I bid you adieu.